Well, today is Palm Sunday. It is and was a defining moment for the nation of Israel. You know, every country, just about, and every group of people experience a defining moment in their history. For example, the history of our country, a defining moment 200 plus years ago was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was the moment that established our country. A lot more recently, defining moment is 9/11. We're still living with the ramifications of that day in our history. For the nation of England, and really Western civilization in general, a defining moment was the signing of the Magna Carta in June 1215. That document put into writing the principle that the king and his government were not above the law. And for Israel, the defining moment was Palm Sunday. In Luke chapter 19, 41 through 44, Jesus described Israel's defining moment. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground. You and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Jesus said, on this day, and you did not know the time of your visitation, in reference to his triumphal entry. For you see, friends, on that day, Jesus publicly proclaimed himself to be king over Israel. But the nation rejected him as their king. We see that on Good Friday. And Israel has been living with the consequences of their rejection of Jesus as their king from then until now. The triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is not just a defining moment in the history of that country. Dear friend, it can be a defining moment for each and every one of us. For you see, in this event, we discover three triumphal truths that can make this Palm Sunday meaningful. And yes, a defining moment in your life today. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, please. If you don't have a Bible, there's one available in front of you, and we've even given you the page number in the bulletin to find it easily and quickly. Matthew 21, verse 1. The scripture says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Notice the first defining moment, the first triumphal truth that we gain from Palm Sunday. And it is, God's purpose will be accomplished. You see, friends, this was the only organized, orchestrated, public display of Jesus during the entire length of his ministry. And why? Well, first of all, he did this to accomplish God's plan of redemption. You see, Jesus had foretold his death approximately 6 months prior to this event. And we see it in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 16, 17, and chapter 20. And now as he rode into Jerusalem on this donkey, prophesied by Zechariah, he forced the leaders' hands. "What are you going to do with me?" And sadly, the leaders chose to reject him. We see in John chapter 12, verse 19, in John's context of the triumphal entry, the leader's response. "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' And they began plotting his death." So Jesus rode into Jerusalem to accomplish God's plan of redemption. Sadly, just days after this event, perhaps many of the crowd that were crying out, "Hosanna," on Good Friday were crying out, "Crucify him," because that was God's plan. But secondly, God's purpose was accomplished by accomplishing God's picture of redemption. In Matthew 26, verses 3 through 5, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.'" Did you catch that? Not during the feast of Passover, "lest there be an uproar of the people." The leaders said, "Not during the feast," but God said, "Yes, during the feast." Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture says, "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." You see, the picture of redemption going all the way back to the beginning of the nation Israel was Passover. The night that God brought out the nation Israel from their Egyptian bondage and redeemed that nation to himself as his people. The leader said, "Let's not do it during that celebration." God said, "Yes, during that celebration, because my picture will be complete and accomplished. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God's purpose will be accomplished. You know what, dear friend? God has a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you. And God will orchestrate events in your life to accomplish His purpose. In Psalm 57, the subtitle to that psalm, in fact, in the Hebrew text, it's verse 1, a miktam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Then it goes on, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Till the storms of destruction pass by, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. You see, God fulfilling His purpose for you is not all sunshine and roses. Sometimes you find yourself, as David did, in a cave. But even in those cave experiences, God is fulfilling His purpose for you. The first triumphal truth of Palm Sunday is that God's purpose will be accomplished. But there's a second triumphal truth, and that is God's promises will be fulfilled. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 5, we see the promise of His coming. And we pointed out that verse 5 is a quotation of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that the king is going to come riding on a colt, on the foal of a donkey, meek and having salvation. And so God accomplishes His promise. God has given many of us promises. I love what the late, great Dr. Warren Wiersbe said. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises. God has given us many great promises, and He intends to fulfill them. We need to claim them. I said, we need to claim them. I'm getting too predictable. I got to find another encouragement for your amens. I saw one preacher, he would tweak his ear when he wanted an amen. Maybe I need to start doing that. Probably you wouldn't remember it or pick up on it, but that's okay. We've got the promise of His coming, but then notice secondly in this passage, verse 9, we've got the promise of the cry. And the crowds that went before Him and that followed Him were shouting, Hosanna. From Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26, save us, we pray. Hosanna. O Lord, that's where we get the word Hosanna. Kind of anglicized and Englishized, but there's a Hebrew word. You've learned a little Hebrew today. Why don't you say it with me? Hosanna. Hosanna. That's the Hebrew word for Hosanna. It means, save us, we pray. Save us now. Save us, please. Oh, Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Triumphal truths that can define your life today, friend. Number one, God's purpose will be accomplished. Number two, God's promises will be fulfilled. And thirdly, God's people will be identified. There are four different types of people that responded, that reacted to the triumphal entry. You see, crisis times don't make us, rather they reveal us. They show what kind of people we really are. And this crisis time in the nation Israel revealed the people for what they really were. And there were four types. First of all, in verses 6 and 7 of our passage, you've got the committed. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. The committed are the obedient ones. They're the ones that do as Jesus says. But then you've got a group of people we could describe as the caught up in verses 8 and 9. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, these people were caught up in the emotion of the moment, the emotion of the day. But then there's a third crowd. We can call them the curious. We find them in verse 10. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? Good grief, folks. People had been ministering for, Jesus had been ministering for 3 years. And these people are saying, now? Who is this? And then fourthly, you've got the contrary. That's what we say down south. Don't be contrary. Well, Jesus had some contrary ones when he entered into Jerusalem. Look at verses 14 through 16. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 39 through 40, another occasion of the contrary confronting Jesus, when it says, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. We're quite familiar with that scripture. Question is, where are you in this list? I find this list strangely familiar to the four types of soil in Matthew chapter 13. Those of you who went through Christianity Explored will remember those four types of soil. The committed, they're the good soil. They're the ones ready to receive the word, and they bear fruit. The caught up, they're the stony soil. The seed comes, and because there's not a whole lot of depth of earth, it springs up. But oh, when tribulation, when the sun comes and beats upon that plant, it withers and dies because it has no depth. The curious, they represent the thorny soil. The seed that comes up among thorns and weeds, and the cares of this world, Jesus said, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the seed so that it's unfruitful. And finally, the hard path, the wayside. The seed that falls on that is gobbled up immediately by the birds of the air, representing Satan. Which soil, which group of people best characterizes your life today? Are you one of the committed, the caught up, the curious, or the contrary? Three triumphal truths can make this Palm Sunday a defining moment in your life, if you let it. God's purpose will be accomplished. Believe it, dear friend. Believe that God has a purpose for your life. God's promises will be fulfilled. Believe them. And finally, God's people will be identified. Believe him. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that just as people responded to you on that first Palm Sunday, people respond to you every time the word goes out. People respond to you in commitment. People will respond to you in curiosity. People will respond to you by having an emotional movement in their life. And yes, sadly, people will respond to you by rejecting you, by being contrary to what you are doing in their lives. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that every person under the sound of my voice, whether it's in our worship center or watching by live stream, would be committed. Their answer to what you're saying to them right now is, yes, Lord, I believe. Or, yes, Lord, I will do what you have me to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.